And we've been talking about chapter 2, I believe, and we were down to verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, that they which are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The ones that had accused him of consorting with, being with, eating with, fellowshipping with publicans and sinners were the people that Jesus took most of his righteous indignation out on. Jesus was very merciful to the woman that the men caught in open adultery and brought her before them, and he forgave her. He was very forgiving toward Mary Magdalene, a woman who had seven devils. He was very merciful to the man who was possessed of a demon that ran among the tombs, hurting himself and making all sorts of precarious noises. As a matter of fact, throughout his entire ministry, he was always very giving, forgiving and very merciful toward people that were what you might call at the bottom of the barrel. People who really felt guilty about what they were and the way they acted and seemed to be the pits of sinfulness. He was very merciful and forgiving. The ones that he really lowered the boom on were the self-righteous hypocrites. They were the people who worshiped God, were regular in their synagogue attendance, brought their offerings to the temple, did everything just like they were supposed to do, and never really looked upon themselves as having a need for the mercy of God. They looked upon themselves as workers or servants of God, and they, by their own efforts, were pleasing God. A person that believes that they're righteous, a person that believes that they can live above sin, a person that believes that they have no need of repentance, a person that believes, well, my Christian life is just like it ought to be, that's who these people were. They did not know God, for they did not know what God wanted them to actually feel and think inside. God has always wanted man to know what he is, because God is a God of truth. And the truth is, we're all born totally depraved and sinners. Jesus could not call these publicans and sinners to repentance. Why? They did not think they had any need of repentance. They were perfectly satisfied with themselves the way they were. They were looking for a Messiah who would come along and think and act just exactly like they did, have the same perspective and outlook, and as a result, they never did receive Jesus. In order to be healed of something, you have to know you're sick. And these publicans and sinners, they knew they were sick. And they knew that they were doing things that were wrong. And they had a very well, acute, developed understanding that what they were doing was wrong. It bothered them. And so they repented of what they were and came to Jesus. These scribes and Pharisees were always after Jesus. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. Now, the word that is used there, where it says used to fast, gives the impression that they had stopped. But the actual Greek word that is used for used means they were continuing to fast. They were fasting. It must have been shocking to the disciples of John, who fasted and meticulously followed many of the regimentary things of the law. And John was a very austere man, a wild man in the wilderness. And they were obeying all the commandments of the law after John had baptized them, or they were trying to, and they fasted. They did many things. And they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? They were always trying to pick apart Jesus. And Jesus was always trying to tell them, I'm new. This is a new thing. This isn't something you're accustomed to. This isn't something that you've understood in the past. It's something that I have brought in right now, and it's brand new. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Now, you don't ever hear me preach on fasting. Perhaps I should. But fasting was never done away with. But since fasting is something that is an individual, personal thing, when someone finds it in the scriptures, they read what it says about fasting, and they decide in a particular thing that they have great desire that a certain result be accomplished, that they believe God's will is in it, sometimes they will actually fast for a period of time. But you don't know who they are, and they don't broadcast it, and they don't ever let anyone know that they're doing it. As you can see, I don't practice fasting. Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast? Can the children of the bride chamber fast? Now, our weddings are usually filled with great nervousness. And the mother of the bride is just in stitches. And the bride is as nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. And I've spent a lot of time back there with grooms in that little side room. And they are so nervous, they don't even know what's going on. And to get them all out here, especially the males, to get them to stumble out here and go through a ceremony, they're as nervous as a bunch of cats on a hot tin roof. And so it's a terrible thing, our weddings. But in the Hebrew wedding, it was a time of great joy, and it went on sometimes, usually 7 days, and sometimes 2 weeks. Yes, the bride was nervous, and yes, the groom was nervous, but it was such a joyous occasion, it was kind of lost in that. Now, when Jesus came to bring in the kingdom. The very fact that Jesus did not bring it in does not mean that that is not why he came. God, in his infinite wisdom, his infinite foreknowledge, knew the nation of Israel would reject. But God does not do things based on men's acceptance or rejection. God always gives man an opportunity to take the kingdom, even though he knows man won't. Why? Because on down the line, it's going to become acutely apparent to all of us that God loved us enough to offer it and loved Israel enough to offer it, even when he knew they would refuse it. God doesn't do things like we do, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. So he pictures here him coming as the bridegroom. He pictures those men that are traveling with him. And notice it said, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? They were not referring to the vast multitude that followed him. They were referring to those who were taught ones, learned ones, ones who followed him as disciples. They were referring to those people we call Peter and James and John. And they were referring to what we call the first New Testament church. Now, when Jesus returns with all the saved of all the ages, out of all the saved of all the ages, he will have chosen a bride. The choosing of the bride will be determined on the faithfulness of those who were saved. It will be determined on whether or not they follow the dictates and leadership of God as it is directed in his holy word. And it will be a time of great, tremendous rejoicing for the whole multitude, everybody at the wedding, and everybody in the family of God. But it will be an especially joyous time, as it was in every Hebrew wedding, for the bride herself. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Now, John was a kind of a figure, and it's 10 o'clock, so we'll stop right there. And y'all can go to your classes, and I'll just continue right there, and we'll take a little short break.